Now consider the following extract. Teaching pronunciation. Pronunciation teaching not only makes students aware of different sounds and sound features and what these mean, but can also improve their speaking immeasurably. Concentrating on sounds, showing where they are made in the mouth, making students aware of where words should be stressed, all these things give them extra information about spoken English and help them achieve the goal of improved comprehension and intelligibility. In some particular cases, pronunciation helps to allow students to get over serious intelligibility problems. Joan Kerr, a speech pathologist, described in a paper at the 1998 ELICOS conference in Melbourne, Australia, how she was able to help a Cantonese speaker of English achieve considerably greater intelligibility by working on his point of articulation, changing his focus of resonance. Whereas many Cantonese vowels occur towards the back of the mouth, English ones are frequently articulated nearer the front or in the centre of the mouth. The moment you can get Cantonese speakers, she suggested, to bring their vowels further forward, increased intelligibility occurs. With other language groups, it may be an issue of nasality, for example Vietnamese, or the degree to which speakers do or do not open their mouths. Some language groups may have particular intonation or stress patterns in phrases and sentences which sound strange when replicated in English. And there are many individual sounds which cause difficulty for speakers of various different first languages. For all these people, being made aware of pronunciation issues will be of immense benefit not only to their own production, but also to their understanding of spoken English. Perfection versus intelligibility. A question we need to answer is how good our students' pronunciation ought to be. Should they sound exactly like speakers of a prestige variety of English, so that just by listening to them we would assume that they were British, American, Australian, or Canadian? Or is this asking too much? Perhaps their teacher's pronunciation is the model they should aspire to. Perhaps we should be happy if they can at least make themselves understood. The degree to which students acquire perfect pronunciation seems to depend very much on their attitude to how they speak and how well they hear. In the case of attitude, there are a number of psychological issues which may well affect how foreign a person sounds when they speak English. Some students, as Vicky Kuo suggests, want to be exposed to a native speaker variety and will strive to achieve pronunciation which is indistinguishable from that of a first language English speaker. Other students, however, do not especially want to sound like inner circle speakers. Frequently, they wish to be speakers of English as an international or global language, and this does not necessarily imply trying to sound exactly like someone from Britain or Canada. It may imply sounding more like their teacher, whatever variety he or she speaks. Frequently, too, students want to retain their own accent when they speak a foreign language, because that is part of their identity. Thus, speaking English with, say, a Mexican accent is fine for the speaker who wishes to retain his or her Mexicanness when speaking in a foreign language. Under the pressure of such personal, political, and phonological considerations, it has become customary for language teachers to consider intelligibility as the prime goal of pronunciation teaching. This implies that the students should be able to use pronunciation which is good enough for them to be always understood. If their pronunciation is not up to this standard, then clearly there is a serious danger that they will fail to communicate effectively. If intelligibility is the goal, then it suggests that some pronunciation features are more important than others. Some sounds, for example, have to be right if the speaker is to get their message across, though others may not cause a lack of intelligibility if they are used interchangeably in the case of individual sounds. A lot depends on the context of the utterance, which frequently helps the listener to hear what the speaker intends. However, stressing words and phrases correctly is vital if emphasis is to be given to the important parts of messages and if words are to be understood correctly. Intonation is a vital carrier of meaning. By varying the pitch of our voice, we indicate whether we are asking a question or making a statement, whether we are enthusiastic or bored, or whether we want to keep talking, or whether, on the contrary, we're inviting someone else to come into the conversation. The fact that we may want our students to work towards an intelligible pronunciation rather than achieve an L1 speaker perfection may not appeal to all, however. Despite what we have said about identity and the global nature of English and the use of ELF, some students do indeed wish to sound exactly like a native speaker. In such circumstances, it would be absurd to try to deny them such an objective. Problems. Two particular problems occur in much pronunciation teaching and learning. What students can hear. Some students have great difficulty hearing pronunciation features which we want them to reproduce. Frequently, speakers of different first languages have problems with different sounds, especially where, as with p and v for Spanish speakers, their language does not have the same two sounds. If they cannot distinguish between them, they will find it almost impossible to produce the two different English phonemes. There are two ways of dealing with this. In the first place, we can show students how sounds are made through demonstration, diagrams, and explanation. But we can also draw the sounds to their attention every time they appear on a recording or in our own conversation. In this way, we gradually train the students' ears. When they can hear correctly, they are on the way to being able to speak correctly. What students can say. All babies are born with the ability to make the whole range of sounds available to human beings. But as we grow and focus in on one or two languages, we lose the habit of making some of those sounds. Learning a foreign language often presents us with the problem of physical unfamiliarity. That is, it is actually physically difficult to make the sound using particular parts of the mouth, uvula, or nasal cavity. To counter this problem, we need to be able to show and explain exactly where sounds are produced. For example, where is the tongue in relation to the teeth? What is the shape of the lips when making a certain vowel? The intonation problem. For many teachers, the most problematic area of pronunciation is intonation. Some of us, and many of our students, find it extremely difficult to hear tunes or to identify the different patterns of rising and falling tones. In such situations, it would be foolish to try to teach them. However, the fact that we may have difficulty recognizing specific intonation tunes does not mean that we should abandon intonation teaching altogether. Most of us can hear when someone is surprised, enthusiastic, or bored, or when they are really asking a question rather than just confirming something they already know. One of our tasks, then, is to give students opportunities to recognize such moods and intentions either on an audio track or through the way we ourselves model them. We can then get students to imitate the way these moods are articulated, even though we may not be able to discuss the technicalities of the different intonation patterns themselves. The key to successful pronunciation teaching, however, is not so much getting students to produce correct sounds or intonation tunes, but rather to have them listen and notice how English is spoken, either on audio or video, or by the teachers themselves. The more aware they are, the greater the chance that their own intelligibility levels will rise. Phonemic symbols, to use or not to use? It is perfectly possible to work on the sounds of English without ever using any phonemic symbols. We can get students to hear the difference, say, between sheep and cheap, or between ship and sheep, just by saying the words enough times. There's no reason why this should not be effective. We can also describe how the sounds are made by demonstrating, drawing pictures of the mouth and lips, or explaining where the sounds are made. However, since English is bedeviled for many students by an apparent lack of sound and spelling correspondence, though, in fact, most spelling is highly regular and the number of exceptions fairly small, it may make sense for them to be aware of the different phonemes, and the clearest way of promoting this awareness is to introduce the symbols to them. There are other reasons for using phonemic symbols too. Paper dictionaries usually give the pronunciation of head words in phonemic symbols. If students can read such symbols, they can know how the word is said, even without having to hear it. Online and CD-ROM dictionaries have recordings of words being said, of course. When both teacher and students know the symbols, it is easier to explain what mistake has occurred and why it has happened. We can also use the symbols for pronunciation tasks and games. Some teachers complain that learning symbols places an unnecessary burden on students. For certain groups, this may be true, and the level of strain is greatly increased if they are asked to write in phonemic script, Newton, 1999. But if they're only asked to recognize rather than produce the different symbols, then the strain is not so great, especially if they are introduced to the various symbols gradually rather than all at once. When to teach pronunciation. Just as with any aspect of language, grammar, vocabulary, etc., teachers have to decide when to include pronunciation teaching in lesson sequences. There are a number of alternatives to choose from. Whole lessons. Some teachers devote whole lesson sequences to pronunciation, and some schools timetable pronunciation lessons at various stages during the week. Though it would be difficult to spend a whole class period working on one or two sounds, it can make sense to work on connected speech, concentrating on stress and intonation, over some 45 minutes, provided that we follow normal planning principles. Thus, we could have students do recognition work on intonation patterns, work on the stress in certain key phrases, and then move on to the rehearsing and performing of a short play extract, which exemplifies some of the issues we have worked on. Making pronunciation the main focus of a lesson does not mean that every minute of that lesson has to be spent on pronunciation work. Sometimes, students may also listen to a longer recording, working on listening skills before moving to the pronunciation part of the sequence. Sometimes they may look at aspects of vocabulary before going on to work on word stress and sounds and spelling. Discrete slots. Some teachers insert short, separate bits of pronunciation work into lesson sequences. Over a period of weeks, they work on all the individual phonemes, either separately or in contrasting pairs. At other times, they spend a few minutes on a particular aspect of intonation, say, or on a contrast between two or more sounds. Such separate pronunciation slots can be extremely useful and provide a welcome change of pace and activity during a lesson. Many students enjoy them, and they succeed precisely because we do not spend too long on any one issue. However, pronunciation is not a separate skill. It is part of the way we speak. Even if we want to keep our pronunciation phrases separate for the reasons we have suggested, we will also need times when we integrate pronunciation work into longer lesson sequences. Integrated phases. Many teachers get students to focus on pronunciation issues as an integral part of a lesson. When students listen to a recording, for example, one of the things which we can do is to draw their attention to pronunciation features on the recording. If necessary, having them work on sounds that are especially prominent, or getting them to imitate intonation patterns for questions, for example. Pronunciation teaching forms a part of many sequences where students study language form. When we model words and phrases, we draw our students' attention to the way they are said. One of the things we want to concentrate on during an accurate reproduction stage is the student's correct pronunciation. Opportunistic teaching. Just as teachers may stray from their original plan when lesson realities make this inevitable, and teach vocabulary or grammar opportunistically because it has come up, so there are good reasons why we may want to stop what we are doing and spend a minute or two on some pronunciation issue that has arisen in the course of the activity. A lot will depend on what kind of activity the students are involved in, since we will be reluctant to interrupt fluency work inappropriately. But tackling a problem at the moment when it occurs can be a successful way of dealing with pronunciation. Although whole pronunciation lessons may be an unaffordable luxury for classes under syllabus and timetable pressures, many teachers tackle pronunciation in a mixture of the ways suggested above. Helping individual students. We frequently work with the whole class when we organize pronunciation teaching. We conduct drills with minimal pairs, or we have all of the students working on variable stress in sentences together. Yet, as we have seen, pronunciation is an extremely personal matter, and even in monolingual groups, different students have different problems, different needs, and different attitudes to the subject. In multilingual groups, of course, students from different language backgrounds may have very different concerns and issues to deal with. One way of responding to this situation, especially when we are working with phonemes, is to get students to identify their own individual pronunciation difficulties rather than telling them as a group what they need to work on. So, for example, when revising a list of words, we might ask individual students which words they find easy to pronounce and which words they find difficult. We can then help them with the difficult words. We can encourage students to bring difficult words to the lesson so that we can help them with them. This kind of differentiated teaching is especially appropriate because students may be more aware of their pronunciation problems and be able to explain what they are than they are with vocabulary or grammar issues. It is vitally important when correcting students to ensure that we offer help in a constructive and useful way. This involves us showing students which part of the mouth they need to use, providing them with words in their phonological context, and offering them continual opportunities to hear the sounds being used correctly. Examples of pronunciation teaching. The areas of pronunciation which we need to draw our students' attention to include individual sounds they are having difficulty with, word and phrase or sentence stress, and intonation. But students will also need help with connected speech for fluency and with the correspondence or lack of it between sounds and spelling. Here are some practical examples. Working with sounds. Example 1, ship and chip. Sounds, sh and ch, level, intermediate. Contrasting two sounds which are very similar and often confused is a popular way of getting students to concentrate on specific aspects of pronunciation. The sequence starts with students listening to pairs of words and practicing the difference between the two targeted phonemes. If they have no problem with these sounds, the teacher may well move on to other sounds and or merely do a short practice exercise as a reminder of the difference between them. But if the students have difficulty discriminating between the targeted sounds, the teacher asks them to listen to a recording and, in a series of exercises, they have to work out which word they hear. For example, 1. Small shops are often expensive, or small chops are often expensive. 2. The dishes need cleaning, or the ditches need cleaning. 3. I couldn't mash these things up, or I couldn't match these things up. 4. She enjoys washing the children, or she enjoys watching the children. They now move on to exercises in which they say words or phrases with one sound or the other. It's very cheap. A grey chair. A cheese sandwich. You cheat. No chance. A pretty child. Before doing a communication task which has words with the target sounds built into it. How much do you enjoy the things in the chart below? 1. Very much. 2. Not much. 3. Not at all. Fill in the chart for yourself and then ask 3 other people. Playing chess, watching TV, washing up, going to a football match, cooking chips, eating chips, lying in the sunshine, shopping. If, during this teaching sequence, students seem to be having trouble with either of the sounds, the teacher may well refer to a diagram of the mouth to help them see where the sounds are made. Contrasting sounds in this way has a lot to recommend it. It helps students concentrate on detail, especially when they are listening to hear the small difference between the sounds. It identifies sounds that are frequently confused by various nationalities. It is manageable for the teacher, rather than taking on a whole range of sounds at the same time, and it can be good fun for the students. This kind of exercise can be done whether or not the teacher and students work with phonemic symbols. Example 2, the phonemic chart. Sounds, all, level, any. The writer, Adrian Underhill, is unambiguous about the use of phonemic symbols and has provided a phonemic chart, which he recommends integrating into English lessons at various points. This phonemic chart is laid out in relation to where in the mouth the 44 sounds of Southern British English are produced. In its top right-hand corner, little boxes are used to describe stress patterns, and arrows are used to describe the 5 basic intonation patterns. That is fall, rise, rise-fall, and level. What makes this chart special are the ways in which Adrian Underhill suggests that it should be used. Because each sound has a separate square, either the teacher or the students can point to that square to ask students to produce that sound and or to show they recognize which sound is being produced. For example, the teacher might point to 3 sounds one after the other to get the students to say sh-op. Among other possibilities, the teacher can say a sound or a word, and a student has to point to the sound or sounds on the chart. When learners say something and produce an incorrect sound, the teacher can point to the sound they should have made. When the teacher first models a sound, she can point to it on the chart to identify it for the students. Underhill, 2005, page 101. The phonemic chart can be carried around by the teacher or left on the classroom wall. If it is permanently there and easily accessible, the teacher can use it at any stage when it becomes appropriate. Such a usable resource is a wonderful teaching aid, as a visit to many classrooms where the chart is in evidence will demonstrate. There are many other techniques and activities for teaching sounds apart from the ones we have shown here. Some teachers play sound bingo, where the squares on the bingo card have sounds, or phonemically spelt words, instead of ordinary orthographic words. When the teacher says the sound or the word, the student can cross off that square on their board. When all the squares are crossed off, they shout, "Bingo!" Noughts and crosses can be played in the same way, where each square has a sound, and the students have to say a word with that sound in it to win that square. Teachers can get students to say tongue twisters sometimes too. For example, "She sells seashells by the seashore," or to find rhymes for poetry or limerick lines. When students are familiar with the phonemic alphabet, they can play Odd Man Out, 5 vocabulary items where one does not fit in with the others, but the words are written in phonemic script rather than ordinary orthography. Adapted from The Practice of English Language Teaching by Jeremy Harmer, 2007, Lungmann Publishing. Now you are ready to complete your tasks and send them to your tutor. Task 1. Read the examples below and decide for each one if the tone is rising or falling. A. Is Pierre French? B. No, he's from Belgium. A. Which area? B. Bruges, I believe. A. Will you lend me £10? B. Certainly not. A. Who goes there? B. It's only me. A. Bread? B. No thanks. A. I'm not going to Paris. B. No. A. Do you travel to France by boat or by plane? B. Oh, we always fly. Task 2. Underline the words you think could be stressed in each of the sentences below. You should give an explanation of why those words are being stressed. Only one word or one set of words per sentence. For some sentences, you will be asked to provide 2 versions. Hint: read out each sentence several times so you can work out which word or words would be stressed and the reason for that stress. Example: I haven't seen him since yesterday. I haven't seen him since yesterday. In this sentence, yesterday is stressed as the speaker wants to emphasize when contact took place. Perhaps the question was, when did you last see him? I haven't seen him since yesterday. In this sentence, him is stressed, as it is the person the speaker hasn't seen, though he may have seen another. Maybe two people were asked about, have you seen either of these two near the house? 1. He telephoned the police yesterday. Give two versions of the sentence. 2. Can you show me the diamonds? Give two versions of the sentence. 3. Paul has gone to the theatre. 4. Have you heard about Marcella? 5. She's won £50,000 on the lottery. 6. I'm not doing anything this evening. Give two versions of the sentence. Task 3. Indicate what part of the sentence in each question should be stressed in order to elicit each of the answers, as in the example. 0. Does she live near London? A. No, she does not. Stress on does. B. No, she lives near Bristol. Stress on London. C. No, she's only visiting. Stress on live. D. No, her brother lives near London. Stress on she. 1. Did you say you were leaving tonight for Wales? A. No, I said Wells in Somerset. B. No, I'm off tomorrow. C. I most certainly did not. D. No, my twin brother said that. 2. Is he going to take that job as a salesman abroad? A. No, he's staying in this country. B. No, he's changed his mind. C. No, he's been offered a job as a divisional manager overseas. 3. Are you seeing Colin this afternoon on the promenade? A. No, I'm seeing Roger. B. No, it'll have to be this evening as I'm busy. C. Yes, most definitely. D. No, I'm seeing him in the arcade. 4. Is your son flying to Paris? A. No, he's off to Brussels. B. No, it's my daughter who's going. C. No, you know he's scared of flying. D. Yes, he's going tomorrow night. Task 4. Underline the weak forms in these sentences, as in the example. 0. They went to the cinema. 1. A quarter to 8. 2. She can speak Spanish. 3. The book that I want. 4. Where does the bus go? 5. How do you do? 6. I bought a present for my brother. Task 5. Highlight or circle the stressed syllable in the following words, as in the example. 0. Philosophy. 1. Vocabulary. 2. Permanent. 3. Spoken. 4. However. 5. Procedure. 6. Produce. 7. Produce. 8. Beyond. 9. Encourage. 10. Linoleum. Task 6. Look at the words below and highlight or circle those syllables containing the schwa sound, as in the example. Note that you may need to highlight more than one syllable. 0. Professor. 1. Newspaper. 2. Director. 3. Industry. 4. Omelette. 5. Recognize. 6. Photograph. 7. Photographer. 8. Furniture. 9. Hesitation. 10. Approximate. Task 7. Find a word of your own to assign to each symbol on the chart provided. For this, fill in the box above each symbol, as in the example, E as in leaf. I will read the sounds from left to right, then from top to bottom. E, I, U, U, Ia, A, E, A, Er, Or, Ua, Oi, Ow, A, 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 O, E, I, O. Task 8. Now look at the consonant section of the phonemic script chart. Which phonemic symbol represents the letters underlined in each of the following words? Please write them in the boxes above the symbols, as in the example. Lorry, vast, then, nylon, hope, road, joke, choke, think, puzzle, mash, ring, yellow, measure, go, weep, fast, crisp, plus, press. This is the end of Unit 2, Module 2, Pronunciation, Stress and Intonation. Copyright Intercell Worldwide Limited, 2009.